Welcome to People You Need to Know on Sparkplug Radio. I'm your host, Sparkplug, publisher of Atlanta's People You Need to Know magazine, the publication which celebrates women in business by giving them tremendous recognition, unrivaled respect, great opportunities, energetic encouragement, and a stronger brand identity in Metro Atlanta and beyond. In this segment, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Sarepta Isaac about the 10 ways you can take charge of your health. Our guest today is a native of Newark, New Jersey. She obtained her BA from Pace University, her doctorate from New York College of Podiatric Medicine, and her MBA from Capella University. Today, she is the CEO and founder of Serenity Podiatric Concierge LLC. They offer mobile podiatric care to the most at-risk individuals in the country today, the geriatric population. We are so honored to have on the phone today a woman whose motto is motivate, educate, and advocate people to their best health. Dr. Sarepta Isaac, welcome to Sparkplug Radio.
Thank you so much, Mr. Sparkplug. It's an honor to be here with you. Thank you.
How are you today?
I am doing well. Nice crispy day, crisp day in Atlanta. So
yeah,
I'm pretty
yeah.
good. Thank you. Yes.
Well,
yes.
We know you're one of the busiest ladies in Atlanta, so we want to get right into it and not take up too much of your time, okay?
Okay, let's do it.
Well, the first question I have for you, is it important that a person has knowledge about their different medical conditions and what they mean?
You know, it is. That is one of the questions that I get asked often. A lot of times patients will come into the office, so I'll go see patients because I do a lot of traveling around, and patients will ask me, you know, is it important that I know what's going on with my medical problems? It is important that I know how my diabetes is affecting the different parts of my body. I mean, you know, you're the doctor. You know, they'll say to me, you know everything. You're the doctor, and I always kind of turn it around to the patient and explain to them that, you know, it is vitally important that you know what's going on with you. I mean, as a doctor, of course, I know, I diagnose certain things and I make notes and keep notes on you each time that I see you. But it's also important for you to know, for you to know which medications you're taking, for you to understand the diagnosis that I've given you and how it will affect your life. And also it helps you to be compliant as a patient, you know, with the treatments that you might get. And so I do turn the table around on my patients in an effort to sort of empower them, you know, and to help them understand that, yeah, it's vitally important that you know. You are the leader here, and I'm sort of your crew helping you to manage this condition. But, you know, it's ultimately your responsibility to know. Yeah.
Oh, so. Right. Well, Dr. Isaac, as a health advocate, what is the most important advice you can give someone to help them begin to take control of their health?
I think to begin to do that, I would say preparation. And it just kind of piggybacks off of the last point, you know, the first point we sort of talked about with patients knowing about their different medical conditions and sort of being aware of what's going on and leading that ship. It's important that you prepare, preparing for something as simple as your doctor's appointments. You know, I sometimes will have patients that I see, I have appointments with, or that come into the office, and they're simply not prepared. You know, and I would say, you know, this is an appointment that we have together, whether I came to see you or you came into the office. And so it's important that you prepare for this like you would prepare for anything else. So if you really want to take control of your health, doing some work in advance. Don't just show up sort of not even knowing, you know, what you're there for. The doctor may know, but it's important that you know. So you prepare in advance. You come with your questions, things that you don't understand that you might have been thinking about from the prior appointment. You write those down. You come in, and you show that you're prepared. You are in charge of your health, okay? And the doctor is simply there to help you manage that health. So I think that's most important, yeah.
All right. Well, how important is it that someone knows about their medical problems and medicines when they're visiting different doctors for care?
Yeah, the Sparkler, that's something that I think gets sort of confusing for patients, especially that group of patients who might be sort of balancing a lot of different medical conditions, you know, in this day we're dealing with, you know, especially as you get older, the population that I see, which is the geriatric population, oftentimes they're diabetic, they are hypertensive, they have high cholesterol, they have they've had injuries and all sorts of things. So they're dealing with a lot of different doctors and a lot of different specialties, having to travel around and see, you know, trying to keep up with their different appointments. And sometimes patients myself as a patient, sometimes I'll go, let's say, to my eye doctor and not think that I have to tell him if something else happened, you know, not understanding that it may be related, especially if different doctors are prescribing you different medications. And I'll have patients that come see me and not understand that the medication that they're taking for their antibiotic that they're taking may have an interaction with an antibiotic that I may want to write for. And so I tell my patients, it is important that you inform all of your providers of the different medications and conditions that you have, whether it seems to be related or not, whether you think it's important for that doctor to know or not. Let them know, and they will make the determination whether it's important or not. And another piece of advice that I give them, I say, you know, it can be overwhelming. That's understandable. Bring a list with you. You know, write it down. You don't have to go look through your memory trying to remember this medication and the dosage. I mean, I don't remember it all myself. I write it down. And doctors, we keep notes. We don't remember everything either. So I say, you know, be easy on yourself. Just write it down. Hand it to the doctor, you know, and everyone will be informed as to what's going on with you.
When it comes to podiatric care, what is the number one thing you see with your geriatric population clients when it comes to foot care?
Sure. I think with foot care, the thing that tops the list, I would say, is vascular disease. I deal with a lot peripheral vascular disease, which is simply poor circulation. You know, as you age, circulation diminishes to the legs and to the feet. And when you tack on the conditions that are more common, or you're more likely to get as you get older, diabetes, high blood pressure, in addition to the poor circulation, then you start to have symptoms of, you know, you get pain, difficulty in ambulating and walking, they're walking less. And so that can lead to other things like ulcers, and which can lead to infections. And so we're sort of kind to trying to help them with the circulation problems, whether it's referring them out to vascular or, you know, applying different modalities to help manage that. So, but circulation is a huge problem. Yeah.
Okay. All right, circulation. Okay. Well, Dr. Isaac, what is an important part of our medical history that is often overlooked?
The number one thing. I'm so glad you asked that question. One of the biggest things that people do not realize, that, you know, and it makes sense, because I don't think I would have realized it had I not, you know, been in this position. But I would say family history. You know, sometimes I do have patients, or I should say a lot of times, I do have patients that come in, especially if they've been seeing me for a while, and they're prepared. You know, they have that list of medications that we talked about. They have the list of their conditions. They know their dosages. It's great. But when you start asking questions about family history, it kind of is a blank. You know, they're like, what? I don't know if my diabetes runs in my family. I know I have diabetes, but I don't know if it runs in my family. And I don't know if, you know, my mother was hypertensive, because it's something, you know, depending on the community, sometimes those things aren't talked about. You know, mm-hmm. families don't really share the conditions that they have. And we don't know, you know, what auntie died from. We just know she was sick. You know, mm-hmm. we don't have it. Right. And so these are relatives. But we don't realize that certain conditions, you're more prone to certain conditions, especially as you age, if, you know, if your mother and her mother or her sisters have the same condition. So it really helps. First of all, it helps the patient to know their family history, if possible, okay, because they're, of course, we know there's certain situations where people don't have their family history, if, you know, raised in different families and what have you. But if possible, it is important that that you find out a little bit about your family, find out what, you know, they passed away from, conditions that they dealt with and how they were managed with, you know, and things like that. I deal with a lot of, you know, diabetics, of course, and, you know, some will say they don't know family members have diabetic, but they remember that that their uncle had a leg amputation. You know, and you say, well, mm-hmm. Why did they have a leg amputation? Right. So things like that. So it really helps to know your family history. Be equipped with that. Come with that as much as possible. Come with as much information as you can and prepare to let your doctor know what sort of conditions run in your family.
All right. Well, speaking of doctors, what is the best way to stay on top of all of the different paperwork when visiting various doctors?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the paperwork is a lot, right? Yeah, and I've been guilty just with all the sort of paperwork that we're required to give our patients, and it can become a lot, you know, when you're talking about referrals, between, you know, your referrals and your prescriptions. And now there's a trend towards visit summaries, you know, that doctors will give you at the end of your visit, sort of outlining, you know, what they found, what your labs were, what the recommendations are. And so you can leave out of the doctor's office easily with 3-4 pieces of paper that you're supposed to keep, you know, and you're thinking, what do I do with all this? You kind of throw it in the drawer, and the next visit comes, and you don't know where anything is. So I tell my patients, it seems simple, but it's hard to do. Be organized. It's as simple as that. Be organized. Have a place that you store your medical information. Because this stuff, it kind of piggybacks. One visit piggybacks off of another oftentimes. And so the doctor will give you something, a referral to another doctor, to a specialist, for instance, and you're supposed to bring that referral with you. I mean, as a specialist, I can't tell you how many times patients will come to me without, you know, let's say the referral, and you're just like, well, geez, you know, I need that referral. To find out what happened at your last visit, what you're here for, because sometimes patients, you know, it's hard to keep up as a you know, patient, especially with the lingo. And so be organized. Have a shelf, have a file, a drawer where you keep all of your paperwork. And if you can separate it by doctors, that's even better. You know, the paperwork from your dentist, separate from the paperwork from your family physician, you know, so that way if you're following up and you need to bring this paperwork back with you, you know where it is, and you're not sort of fumbling around. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Before your visit. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, why is it so important to ask questions if you don't understand something your provider has shared with you?
Well, for clarity. You know, the biggest thing is clarity, Mr. Sparkplug. I can tell you that, what really started me on this mission to become this health advocate and to help motivate and educate my patients was sort of early on, I would say during my training, my residency training, but more so early on in practice, my first couple months out of practice, you know, I'm out on my own now, you know, and being an attending physician. And I would see patients and I would speak to them, you know, kind of ask them questions about how they're managing, you know, how their other doctors are managing their other conditions and how they're doing. And they would know nothing about it, you know, and it was astonishing to me. I mean, it was patients who, for instance, might have been diabetic for 10 years. And I would ask them simply, you know, oh, what's the dosage of that medication you're taking? How much are you taking now? How much insulin are you taking? And they would have no idea. And I would, you know, we would talk about that, and I would say, well, you are diabetic, you know, and helping to understand, you know, you are diabetic, you are taking these medications, maybe you're taking them, you're not sure if you're still taking it, or you're not sure if you're supposed to, or even, you know, more surprising, you're not sure if you're still diabetic, you know, so that really sort of opened my eyes to this group, this demographic of people who are just, they're lost. You know, the information is not there, and it can be, it's, you know, no specific person, no fault of one person, you know, not the doctor. We can't put all of the blame on the doctor or the patient. It has to be, it's a shared responsibility, but patients are not feeling empowered to ask those questions. They go into the doctor's office and sometimes leave out, not sort of gaining any clarity on what's going on. They're just following instructions, maybe, if they understand them, and sort of walking out, you know, not really knowing. And the only person that it hurts ultimately is the patient, because they're not empowered to take control of their health and really get in front of it to better manage it. And so my advice is, speak up. Don't be afraid. You know, there's this, I'm a new practitioner, but I would speak to the older docs who would train us in the hospitals. And we would always talk about this image of the doctor being, you know, you can't ask questions. It's almost like military sort of. It really, really, yeah, it really kind of makes me laugh, because for me, I see it, you know, and it's, in a different way. The patient is in control, and I'm sort of helping you because it's your body. I'm here to equip you with the information, to help you understand, to give you, you know, the instructions, recommendations, medications that can help you, but you are in charge. I'm here for you, you know? And so I think for patients to get back into the driver's seat, they have to feel empowered. They have to feel that, you know, they are in control and they can speak up. You know, doctor's appointments where I'm the only one speaking doesn't work. I stop speaking to let my patients speak. And so, yeah, speak up. Ask what you need to ask. Yeah.
All right. Well, what should a person do if they don't necessarily agree with the diagnosis or medications they've been given?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would say that kind of goes with the last question with speaking up. You know, you do find, and it's a great thing, there are some patients that will speak up, and the patients that do the research, that's great. But if they disagree, they won't really say anything. They'll kind of go home and disagree with their family, like, that doctor, I don't agree with what she said. Well, you know, the best time to say that would have been at the appointment and discuss it. And patients, they don't feel okay disagreeing. And again, I tell my patients, listen, I end all of my visits by asking my patients if they have any questions. You know, speak up if there's anything, because you might not necessarily disagree per se, you know, because maybe the doctor knows more, just has some information, but you also know your body. It's your body. There might be something that you're experiencing that the doctor is not clear about. You might have said something and they missed it, and so they came. You know, so if you don't really agree or you're not sure, I would say speak up about it, and you just, you know, vocalize. It's important to know you always have the right to a second opinion. There's no doctor. I mean, I don't have any colleagues that I know that would deny their patients a second opinion. Actually, I offer my patients to go and get second opinions because I really want them to be comfortable with the recommendations, instructions, and medications that I give them. If they have any questions about it, you know, as long as the doctor is doing everything correctly and they're confident in what they're doing, there's no reason that a doctor would deny you getting a second opinion. So, again, you know, you do your research beforehand. If you're following what you should do, you're doing your research beforehand, you're arriving at the doctor's office prepared, you are vocalizing, you know, what you need to say, and you're, you know, following up with other doctors if need be, that's putting that control back in your hands, you know, helping you to better manage your health. Yeah.
Well, Dr. Isaac, so much information can be given at each appointment. How should a person keep up with it?
Well, keeping up, I guess that goes back to the to staying organized, you know, paperwork wise. But as far as sort of you know, navigating, you know, the different instructions. I mean, for instance, I'll have patients that I would give, it would be simple instructions, you know, we'd like for you to do this in between your visit, then you'll come back and we'll see how you do. And they will come back and they wouldn't have done it. And I would say, well, you know what happened? He said, oh, I didn't really understand. And so we kind of missed that whole time period because maybe I wanted to move on to something else, you know, to kind of, especially, you know, if it's with my patients where we do a lot of ambulating stuff and things like that, kind of want to progress them. And so in order to keep all of that, you know, in order organized for you, you want to write it down. Ask for clarification where you don't understand. And if you think, this is the most important part also, if you think that you can't comply, so if your doctor gives you some sort of exercise to do, some sort of, you know, whatever it is, you think that you can't, oftentimes because we know, and I can see sometimes when I speak to my patients, if I give them a recommendation and they can't comply, I'll see a look on their face. They won't say anything, but their eyes will go to the ceiling. And I would say, you know, are you going to be able to comply with this? And then I'll get that sort of smirk. But if you think you can't, speak up again, because a lot of times there are resources that are available to you that you might not know about. And doctor's offices and their support staff do have those resources. If it is a prescription, you know, sometimes patients cannot fill their prescriptions for whatever reason. Say that. Say, you know, I don't think I'll, you've given me this prescription, but I don't think that I'll be able to fill it for reason X, Y, and Z. And you'll be surprised there are resources out there. There are, you know, your doctor and their staff can set you up with pharmacies that deliver medications. Or if you don't think that you can do a certain exercise, for instance, we might be able to give you a recommendation of physical therapy. Or maybe perhaps you need social services. Maybe you need some sort of home health aid. So, you know, again, speaking up. I think that's kind of been the theme of sort of taking charge of your health is speaking up, getting back in the driver's seat of this. Say what you're thinking, you know, what you're hesitant about. There may be a lot of resources that are available to you that you are not privy to because you haven't spoken up about the challenges that you foresee having. So, yeah. I would say it's sort of the best way.
That could have been another topic for the show. Speak up for your health.
Oh, yeah. Speak up for your health. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's
well,
huge.
Dr. Isaac, in closing, what is the one piece of advice you'd like to leave with our listening audience today?
So health care and health conditions, and it is complex. Right. So I've kind of been talking to different people about this, doing talks on healthcare, and it is healthcare as a whole. I think whether you're a doctor or a patient, we can all agree it's complex between insurances and different doctors and hospitals. And even reach politics when you talk about, you know, all that's going on with changes in healthcare. I would say do not be overwhelmed. If you are one that is dealing with all these medical problems, you know, you find yourself dealing with all these chronic conditions and you're trying to keep up with what this doctor has said and that doctor has said, and, you know, you're taking 7 different medications per day and you're checking, you know, you're checking your blood sugar and you do, you know, different things that a lot of time can be overwhelming to patients. You know, I see them, they're frustrated, it's overwhelmed, it's just too much. We stop, we pause, and I tell them, be gentle on yourself. This is not easy, right? You are trying to manage all that is going on with your health, in addition to, we haven't even sort of touched on the family responsibilities, perhaps you're still working and all that's going on. One day at a time. Be gentle on yourself. recovery, healing, chronic disease management, it takes time. You know, it takes time to get it right sometimes. Sometimes we kind of, even on the doctor's end, we sort of have to adjust for medications. We might have to change the plan of what we thought we were going to do, and that's okay. You know, so I tell my patients, because once we start getting overwhelmed and stressed and the anxiety levels go up, then we're even more noncompliant. Then we really don't want to deal with it. And then these conditions get worse. So I would say be gentle on yourself. It takes time. You know, you if you are putting forth the effort, you are preparing, you are writing things down, you are trying to stay organized, and you are pushing to be compliant, you will eventually take charge of your health.
All right. And finally, how can our listeners connect with you?
Absolutely. I would love that. They can connect with me. I am on Facebook as Dr. Sarepta, Instagram. All my handlers, my handles really are Dr. Sarepta. They can connect with me
there.
Spell
your name for our listening audience. Make sure.
Sure. It's an interesting one, right? it is Sarepta. It's spelled S-A-R-E-P-T-A. And so all my handles are there, Dr. Sarepta, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. And I would love to connect, continue the conversation. Passionate about motivating, educating, and advocating for my patients. And it's been an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Do you have a phone number you'd like to give out?
Sure, absolutely. My phone number is 404-937-7005. You can reach me directly there. And, we can continue to talk.
All right. Well, Dr. Sarepta Isaac, CEO and founder of Serenity Podiatric Concierge LLC, thanks for spending some of your most precious and valuable time with us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It was absolutely pleasure.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Spark Plug Radio, the radio station that shines the spotlight on women in business. To listen to even more people you need to know, just Google Spark Plug Radio or visit our website at sparkplugpeople.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at PYNTK. If you'd like for me to speak at your conference, meeting, or for your women's group, please email your requests to sparkplugpeople@gmail.com. I want to take a moment to thank our executive producer, Ms. Jacqueline Benjamin Thomas, for doing another brilliant job behind the scenes. Thanks again for tuning in, and be sure to tell your friends about Spark Plug Radio. So until next time, this is Spark Plug, America's ambassador for women business owners, reminding you that you are the person who has to decide whether you'll do it or toss it aside. You are the person who makes up your mind, whether you lead or linger behind, whether you try for a goal that is far, or be content to stay where you are. Take it or leave it. There's something to do. Just think it over. It's all up to you.